Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Now, let's get to today's confession. Hey, Jay.
Well, good morning, Natalie.
Oh, man. It's such a good morning. It's such a good morning because it's Friday.
And you just got back from Alabama.
Ooh, I don't have a song. Oh, my gosh. Sweet home Alabama. And, you know, nobody was singing Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah. In Sweet Home Alabama, nobody?
Nobody. I was in Dothan. I was in Birmingham, and my accent fit right in.
Yeah.
But nobody was singing Sweet. I expected it to be like when you go to Nashville, you walk into the airport and they're playing nothing but country music. Alabama's going to have to step up.
Okay.
I think they're still in mourning.
Okay.
Over
just
Saban.
One question. So what was that, that Reese Witherspoon movie where, what was
it
that
was,
one?
You know, Sweet Home Alabama.
It was,
I'm
okay,
pretty
there you
sure
go.
It was actually Your
Remember
Name.
when she said, you have a baby? In a bar. That was my favorite
that's a
line in a
baby
movie.
in
a
bar.
bar.
It's the way she said it, in a bar.
So if you need a little caregiver funny, just go watch Sweet Home
watch
Alabama.
Oh, Sweet Home Alabama is so
it'll make
good.
you laugh.
I know Jennifer's like, what is this about? Like, I can feel you wanting to jump in. You're like, I have seen that movie as a matter of fact.
It's our last. Okay, let's get serious now.
All right,
it's
we're
no
gonna
more
pull
bantering.
it together. Let's pull
Pull
it
together.
together, Jay.
Pull it together. Yes, yes, yes. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, so today we have a fantastic guest, but we already knew her, which is really interesting. Which
We're
besties. She may not claim us, but I want to give you a little backstory. So we met today. We have Jennifer Jenkins with us, and we actually met her on a show we did. She was a representative for the Elizabeth Dole Foundation last November, and that was during our Heroes Caring for Heroes campaign. But in sharing the information about the organization, we learned a lot more about Jennifer, and we knew we had to have her back. So she has dedicated her career to advocacy and communication with a multitude of organizations and awards. But Jennifer has been a caregiver for over half her life, caring for a grandparent with dementia, and then in 2005, becoming a full-time caregiver for her brother, James, who was wounded in Iraq while serving in the U.S. Army. She is also a wife to a Navy veteran. She is a mother to a U.S. Marine. And if that were not enough, she has a 2-year-old daughter who arrived as a preemie. So, I mean, she's a little busy. So she's got a lot going on. Jennifer, we are so happy to have you here, not to talk about, you know, the educational side, but you're going to talk about real life today. So what is going on with
you? She was
you?
Faking it the last time we were on.
Yeah.
That was professional.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like professional Barbie, and then there's pool Barbie.
Oh, you're caregiver Barbie. Oh my God.
Barbie,
you know
sure.
what? Okay, so for everybody who can't, who's not on, not watching on our YouTube channel, she is blonde. So she could be professional Barbie.
Yes.
Or caregiver Barbie for sure.
Yeah.
And absolutely beautiful. But here's the thing, beautiful on the inside too. So the Heroes Caring for Heroes series was military and veteran caregivers. And we talked about how the Elizabeth Dole Foundation supports, as well as Wounded Warrior, because Jennifer's connected to the Wounded Warrior, and we'll get into that later. But that's when we learned about her caregiving, and she's just caregiving military. It's all together.
We usually say, as Natalie says, you were born and then jump to the caregiving start, the place. So you said over half your life. So let's go. Like, how did it begin?
Well, like you, JJ, I'm the oldest. I'm 13 years older than my siblings.
Oh.
So I did a lot of caregiving for littles when I was a teenager.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of that was because I grew up in a house that wasn't so great. But, you know, I had a really amazing mentor in my life. My grandmother, and she took care of so many people in her short 92 years. And thankfully, I had someone, you know, that I could turn to during tough times, but who also helped me learn ways to get through those tough times on my own.
Yeah.
And when I was 15, my grandmother was diagnosed with breast cancer and had a single side mastectomy, all of her lymph nodes removed. It was very invasive surgery. So this was mid 80s. Mm-hmm. And I cared for her when she came from the hospital. I cleaned her wounds while she still had stitches. Oh, gosh. Wow. And I remember it was scary, but it was also, I felt so much honor in being able to provide that care for her.
Jennifer, did you move in? Were you there all the time? Is that kind of, you were full-time care? You were 24/7?
Yeah, I was back and forth anyway as a child to my grandmother's house. But yes, I moved in during that time. Wow. We didn't have a car by then. My grandmother had given up her car.
Yeah.
And I, of course, couldn't drive because I wasn't old enough. So if I needed to go somewhere, we called the taxi. We lived in kind of a rural area, but you could still call the taxi, meaning there was one guy.
Yeah.
So wait, where are you from originally?
I'm from Southern Indiana.
Okay. So Southern Indiana, I've got to have it, like, picture it, Sicily, 1932.
Because picture it, gravel road, it's dusty.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Well, we're from a rural area too. We had gravel.
Totally understand.
Totally. We can relate.
We would call ahead to the Mitchell and Berry Drug and Sundries. It sounds like it's like Little House on the Prairie, but we would call ahead and they would get our grocery order and any medicine that we might need or whatever. And we had a charge account there. So I would take the taxi and go to Mitchell and Berry. And while I was there, I got myself a chocolate ice cream. And then I would have arranged for the taxi to take me home. And that was my first experience with caregiving.
How long did you care for your grandmother?
So that stint, I was there about a month until mm-hmm. she started getting around on her own and people from church started caring. And of course, I had to go to school.
Oh, so you had to learn as well.
Yeah,
like you were expected to still learn.
Yeah, I remember some of my teachers made these giant packets of work, you know, for me to do while I was away. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a planned thing. And then it wasn't until about 10 years later, when I was all grown up, I guess, where I was working in radio. I had my own little baby. And that's when my brother and sister were going to be removed from my parents' home by child services. And so I was presented with the proposition of them going into foster care or me becoming their legal guardian. If there is an adult sibling who is responsible and capable, they will place younger children with them.
100%.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't know that. And it was an interesting time in my life. My sister ended up staying with someone else and my brother stayed with me. So that was hard, but I raised him through high school and I felt really good about it because he made a lot of growth. We both made a lot of growth, but that's a caregiving experience in and of itself. However, the real caregiving for James didn't start until he was wounded in Iraq.
So I want to pause for 1 second because number one, I've worked in the foster care system for 25 mm-hmm. years, and you're right. While it is not super, here's the thing: it is very common to place children with kinship. It is not super common that they go with an adult sibling that is in their probably early 20s, because that's what I hear you telling me is, I was in my early 20s. And so you had gotten married. So you supported your grandmother, and mm-hmm. which I think is great because that's near and dear to my heart. I supported, everybody supported. And when you said, oh, the schools, I just want to pause. Everybody knew. The schools made sure that you didn't get behind. They made you packets of homework so that you didn't fail, kind of thing, and fail on so many levels. And the fact that you had the taxi service. It's think about the time now, because we didn't have Uber. We didn't have Uber then, Uber Health, thank you. And I'm assuming you were making food and all that kind of stuff. And
I went to the bank and paid the note on my grandmother's gas stove.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, and you're 15, and this is not what we would consider normal childhood type development or activities. And although, but I think in rural areas, but I don't want to even say rural areas, but definitely in rural areas, the community kind of just says, okay, how do we support one another? So then you get in, so you get married then, is that correct? You get married, and that way
Yeah,
you're
I got
the
married and divorced,
husband.
and I was a single mom of a little guy.
Oh, so okay, so you got married and divorced. I'm a big, I'm on my second. For everybody, you can appreciate that. Don't tell Jason. I've got a backup plan just in case this one doesn't work out. But we've been together 20 years, so I figure I'm gonna stick with this one. Lazy dater. But so you got married and divorced, but had a baby, and then you took your brother in, and so that's a different. That's even more because you're a single mom. And so you took your brother in. Okay. And so your brother, so you raised, you both grew up more together. That's interesting. How was high school life? If I can just pause for a second in that young, that, 'cause you are a caregiver, it's, that's a hard role. You're guardian, 'cause you're technically the guardian, which means you're the quote unquote parent and sibling.
Yeah. Well, first we got a lot of questions. We look alike. And people would think, is that his mom? She looks really young, but it must be his mom. And there's another baby. And so, and people would refer to my son and my brother as my son and my brother as brothers. And we just got to the point where we would let it go. Just
Just
let
leave
it
what you
go.
want, people.
Absolutely.
I don't even care.
It was, I could, I was so strapped for time because I was working and I have this baby, and that, like, I couldn't volunteer for football boosters, but I did make sure that he got to every practice. And I would say I was kind of a stern parent. I wanted him, I had goals for him, and it was not to fall back into our previous generation's habits.
And so it's interesting. Did you get any training on how to be a parent? Because you're a caregiver, you had experience caregiving with tasks and supports, and you knew how to do the stuff, like help do things. But any tips from respectfully from social services on, hey, this is how you raise a young person, by the way.
No, but I will say this. We have muscle, our brains have muscle memory. I was a Girl Scout. I did a lot of babysitting. They did make me become CPR certified, which for a 13-year-old, that's fine. I did it. But I did have a lot of sort of subtle training growing up that I recalled in those moments. Everything from like being an efficient grocery shopper to preparing simple meals. You know, it's one thing for me with a baby to feed myself and give him, you know, peas and carrots and some sliced up chicken. But for me to feed a teenage boy, to have this family, it became much different. Huge hurdles when you start caregiving for a young person, that even though I was the guardian, like I had to get a court order to add him to my health insurance, just crazy stuff. And those are things that you experience when you care for an adult. Later on in life, you find out, oh my gosh, what? I can't do their banking. I can't talk to the doctor about them. That's crazy. And
Absolutely.
it
does sound like you were honestly truly prepared. I want to take a break just real quick, Jay, for commercial, and then we'll jump right back in.
Hey everybody, we're back and we're talking to Jennifer Jenkins. We have been talking also about being prepared with documentation, Natalie, and just not knowing the things that you need when you're taking in someone to care for. So let's jump back into the conversation, Jennifer. So I got a question for you. You've got a brother, you've got a son. Just give me an idea of the time frames. How old are they? You've got your when you take your brother in, how old is he?
He is 13.
Okay, so 13, you're 25, you have an infant, and then your brother, I know you take full care for him beginning in 2005 because of his injury. Somewhere in there, you also have your grandmother, she gets sick again. Is that right?
Yeah, so I'm raising my brother. He joins the army right after 9/11 in high school. And around the time my brother went away for boot camp, things started changing with her on the phone. Mm-hmm. She became agitated. She told me that she got fired from the hospital where she volunteered for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I went so far as to call them. I was quite angry. And they really didn't tell me much. And they probably couldn't tell me much about what was going on. But I started seeing things like incontinence and different signs that were off. I decided it would be a good idea to move my grandma to assisted living. So we made arrangements when my brother was home next. So you know, the next time you're home from the army, we're moving grandma to assisted living and you're helping.
Well, you're not going to be in charge, isn't it? And you're helping. JJ does that to me sometimes. To her. She'll be like, Natalie, are you going to go do this? And it's more of a period than a question mark.
So we moved her to assisted living.
Yeah.
And 30 days later, she crashed and burned because I didn't know that she had dementia. She hadn't been officially diagnosed. But I now know that when you make big changes or you have the big illness, the dementia drastically increases.
Yeah.
So I got a phone call from a hospital social worker that my grandmother was in Walmart. Now, mind you, the previous 30 days, I was getting called every day from the assisted living place about my grandma. And I was like, just give her some time. I would call her on the phone. My grandma was at Walmart for 24 hours. She went to Walmart on the taxi, wandered around, did her little bit of shopping, but then just never left. And so the people came back from the next day. They were like, hey, Mrs. Smith is still here. I mean, this is some all Walmart, early days of Walmart, right?
Yeah, right.
And they put two and two together. They, you know, they called an ambulance.
Oh.
And she got on a hold at the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. As a psych hold, she's TDO'd.
Yeah, and then I had to talk to a judge to bring my grandma, my beautiful Pentecostal, never squashed an aunt grandma.
Oh my gosh.
Has
how
a hearing.
Old is she at this point?
You know, she's like 86.
Yeah.
86. Just chilling at Walmart. Well, you know, it's too bad Walmart doesn't have like beds, like, you know, like the old school, what Sears, everybody can sponsor us at this point. JCPenney's had bed. Food.
Yeah. She bought some Snickers, like
knacking. Well, at least she bought it. Yeah. It wasn't like she was shoplifting. She was chilling at the Walmart. I mean, honestly, have you seen a Walmart? They're pretty big. Lots to do.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So you go and spring your grandmother from, because you go to the magistrate is where she went, to the judge. And then what happened?
Well, they wouldn't let me take her. Like, I was like, I'll just take her home. And they were like, so the doctors, you know, did a lot of tests while she was at the hospital and she has advanced dementia. And so we want to put her in a facility. Now, I don't have POA. I don't have guardianship. I have nothing. I was able to put her in a facility very close to my home that I knew some people that work there. It was, oh God, ideal. So then that also was difficult and advanced her dementia a bit further, but then we plateaued for a long time. I did her laundry. I did her nails. We went on lots of drives and field trips to my house. And I tried to make the end of her life very beautiful for where she was.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if she went in at 86, I'm just trying to do a little math here, Jennifer, and she passed at 92. We've got the 6-year window there, but your brother is injured in 2005.
Yeah.
So that's between all this.
Yeah. So now he's in Iraq.
Okay.
No more helping with grandma. She knows this. Like he writes her letters. She writes him letters, although they sort of say the same thing over and over again, many different <It's okay>. times. I miss your grandfather. Our farm was lovely. And he had long since passed, but she would get stuck on things. Like my brother, God love him, would write her things that about what was happening over there as if she were our grandma who, you know, would help us get through all that. And
yeah.
she would get stuck on things like just horrible things. And she would yeah. repeat them. And so I'm trying to like still care for my son. I'm sending my brother care packages. It's anguishing for him to be over there. Right. Because yeah. like JJ, I am really good at controlling just every single thing. And I couldn't. Yeah. That's really the beginning of where I started experiencing anxiety in my life. Funny, I hadn't recognized that all those years before. And I didn't tell anybody about that.
Mm-mm. Of course not.
No.
Why would you be a burden to someone else? You're taking care of everybody else but yourself.
My brother got blown up. Now he's in the Army hospital where he's going to get out of the Army, but he's, you know, all these problems, brain injury. He's got internal injuries, orthopedic surgeries.
Oh, it was a very significant injury.
Yeah, he drove over a bomb. I have to tell my grandmother because she's expecting him, you know, to come and visit her. Yeah. And he's different.
Yeah.
In some ways, because of learning about dementia, I was actually able to understand my brother's brain injury a lot better.
Mm. Wow.
And I knew fairly quickly that it was going to be with him for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the day it happens, you think they're going to get better. They're going to go back to the Army in their life. But he didn't. It took me about 5 years to grieve, like who I pictured him being, yeah. right? And I know you have a lot of listeners that grieve while their loved one is alive. You're not grieving them per se. Mm. You're grieving your thoughts and dreams and hopes for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I guess it sounds like to me, and for Natalie and Emily, and they know this because our parents worked a lot. They, to me, have always been my children. Like Emily calls me the mother hen because I had a lot of power at the house. I'm telling you, it was like the snap.
JJ was in charge. Here's the thing.
All the time.
Spoiler alert, JJ's still in charge.
That's right. But it sounds like in addition to being just your brother, you are a significant mother figure. So do you feel like that, at least in my mind, you sort of take on that heart role? So this is a brother injury, but this is like a child in your heart. So there's so much more tied up in this, Jennifer. So, and I feel like you've got a son, eventually you have this daughter, and in your mind, you're also seeing this brother that's going to play with your kids and you're going to watch him get married and have kids. And so, yeah. So you have, tell us more, what happens next?
Oh gosh, a lot happens. Yeah. I honestly, so many details I don't remember because I'm entrenched. I have to learn about brain injuries and Army retirement and VA disability and Social Security. And thank God I already knew a little bit about that because I was like taking care of my grandma. Yeah. So I just for several years, I'm telling you for like 5 years, I just plugged through and kept my head down and did all the things. And then it became time for my grandma to pass.
Yeah.
She was diagnosed with throat cancer, and so we chose hospice. And the last 3 days of her life, I stayed with her bedside. And passing with your loved one that you've cared for is a blessing and a curse because you know your time doing that care is coming to an end, and you just want to make it so gentle for them. My brother had seen a lot of deaths in Iraq and was not able to do that. And I'm glad I was able to give him that gift to say, I got this.
Yeah. You always got it. That's what I'm
remember
hearing.
Just remember her the way that she was for you. And you guys are not going to believe this when I tell you this. But a few months after my grandmother passed, I got a call from a hospital that my mother had had a stroke. I had not spoken to my mother in many years. Mm-hmm. My mom was on her own. There was nobody to take care of her. I gathered a couple distant relatives who knew my mom, and we placed her in the same home where my grandmother was. You know, my grandmother had just passed. Yeah. And I obtained legal guardianship of my mom. It's something, okay, I talked to my therapist about this a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The healthy choice might have been to not do that, to let the state take her over. Yeah. But I wanted to be like, I am trying to break generational habits, and I wanted to be, I guess, the bigger person or the forgiving person. Yeah. So I have been my mom's legal caregiver for all this time. It's different. I have boundaries. I don't visit. I make sure she has the best care. I handle all of the circumstantial things, right? Finances, Social Security, you know, the healthcare decisions. And I have some peace now that I can look at my mom and say the person that she is now is not the person that raised me.
Yeah.
And therefore I can have empathy for this person.
Mm, that is really words of wisdom, because I'll tell you, children who have experienced trauma growing up is very hard. And not that it's hard for them to have empathy, but it would be anyone, I think we can all relate. It's very hard to care for someone that when your background is strained, and that's the nice way to put it, it's hard to do that. So that's a really good, I think, being able to separate periods of time, because people do change, especially after significant illnesses. I'm not saying that it changes for the better. It's just different. And so how do you, what I hear you saying is, I know how to protect myself so that you can perform that duty, so that you can do. And I think there's always an element that children do want their parents, no matter how badly or poorly they parented.
I have some advice for people who need to get there. First, get in counseling. There's a lot of ways to get counseling. You can tell a doc, you can go to support groups. There's counseling through your employer, through your health insurance. Get it, because you can't do this without releasing some of it from time to time. And second, if you have a loved one that you need to set boundaries with, that your past relationship was awful, don't be afraid to tell the daily caregivers at the facility that they're in about your past. Own it. I've told them. Mm-hmm. I have my mother here with you because she can get the best care, but I need you to understand what happened in our past life so that you understand the boundaries. It's not that I'm unkind. It's that I'm being kind to myself. Mm-hmm. When you explain that to professionals, they'll get it. They'll get it. Mm-hmm. So that helped me a lot. Just being honest, being vulnerable. What's the worst thing that can happen? The state takes her back? Well, I guess that would be the worst thing for her, because then she wouldn't have somebody who really was trying to make sure that she got good care.
Let me stop just for 1 second, Jen, because we got to take a break. We're going to come right back to that, because this is so good. This is such good information. We're going to take a break.
Hey, Natalie, we are back, and we are with Jennifer Jenkins, and she just shared something that has hit me. We were talking about setting boundaries, and she said, it's not that I'm being unkind, but that I'm being kind to myself. And Jennifer, that is a tip.
That's insightful.
You got that. But you said counseling is something that you recommend for everything, for everybody. That's a top tip. And I totally believe that.
So let's jump in and talk about, let's transition. Cause you're, I want to, before we do that, you're still caring for your mother. Your mother's still with alive.
So, yeah. And my brother he just turned 40, just had his 22nd surgery connected to his war wounds. He's an absolutely delightful person. And my mom is the same. She's the same, but I have somebody new in my life to take care of.
I was going to ask if we were going to get into this, because here's my question. You still had life going on. I know that you have a lot of affiliations that you have. You are a huge advocate. So you're doing all, you've gone to school.
Yeah, I'm like work. Let's, like, where, I don't even know when she has time to do anything. Like, I'm brush her exhausted.
Teeth. So,
like,
let's talk about these. Let's talk about your life and how it has gone forward. Let's talk about that.
Well, when my own son grew up, he decided to join the Marine Corps. And that's when I went to counseling, because I was like, okay, I'm not okay. And since then, he's gotten out of the Marine Corps. He got hurt too. That's thankfully he recovered and is doing well. And I have a granddaughter, and it's beautiful. But as I started trying to be a more healthy person and being kind to myself and really doing that hard work, I filled in gaps. That I got a job, I finished my degree, I started doing yoga, a lot of things. I moved to my own home in Florida. I still go back and forth, but, you know, I made a big step. I stepped off a big cliff because I was expecting a big splash, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started filling in gaps. This is actually where Wounded Warrior Project helped me, because they were always encouraging me, like, okay, well, what else do you need? Counseling, check. Work, check. What else do you need? And I really needed relationships. I have friends, of course, but many of them are a bit disconnected. I have, you know, a couple who are really tight, but I needed, like, I wanted a partner, a good, solid, your baggage isn't too heavy for me partner.
Yeah.
And I met a Navy veteran, and during COVID, we got married and had a baby.
Oh my gosh.
Little boy. Yeah. I had him a week before my 50th birthday.
Wow. You are a good woman.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
Big change. The hardest part has been when he was born early. And so he spent a couple months in the NICU, and I started having, like, caregiver flashbacks, like PTSD. I know how to turn off the machines, but I also know what the machines say. And I understand what the doctors say that when I overhear, you know, them talking, and it was a lot.
Yeah.
And that has forced me to go back to my old tactics. Okay. Box breathing, get out a pen and paper and do some doodling, phone a friend. Like, I just had to start going through the list.
Yeah. Mm, those are tips right there. Those are things that help decrease your anxiety. It's amazing, the power of breathing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And when my son was hurt, I had learned by that time that there's four questions to ask someone when they're hurting or going through a crisis. So, you know, have you had anything to drink today? Well, how much water have you had today? Have you had anything to eat? When was the last time that you ate? How much sleep did you get last night? How much are you even sleeping just recently? Have you talked to anyone? Who have you talked to? What have you told them?
Mm. Those are good. Those are good questions. And especially when you're feeling, I call it upside down. When you're feeling upside down and you can feel the anxiety, typically it's like, would you like a drink of water? Would you like, it's even like, and the question around, have you had something to eat? Would you like something to eat? Because what it's meant to do is distract and help get you re-regulated and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And these are easy interventions.
Yeah. Also, ask these questions of yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you feel your heart racing, when you feel like you're holding every breath, ask yourself, when was the last time I had a drink of water today? And, you know, there's some ancillary questions. Go outside. Go outside for 5 minutes. Just breathe. Look at a leaf.
Yeah.
Wow. It's the truth. It helps you refocus and really get reconnected. Oh my gosh. Like these are good strategies though.
Yeah, Jay. No. Yeah.
These are really good strategies to be able to help when, as a caregiver, and I'm going to tell you, I know we got to go to sister questions. As a caregiver, it's easy to become overwhelmed. And I think, Jen, you've probably been using a lot of these strategies intermittently throughout your entire life when you were caring. And there's a lot of pressure, especially as a young caregiver and your age, and you're just growing up and you're like, you get pushed with these things and you're finding strategies. But I think that's part of the point of having a counselor, is they help kind of wrap your brain around the why and help you identify what your body's telling you. Cause your body will always tell you first, like, rather my ears, when I get put on, my ears get red or my hands get kind of sweaty. And when you know what your body, or listen to your body, you can do the things to help get you settled. So, Jay, I mean, I hate to say this, time.
It's a sister question. Questions. I know.
I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I feel like we need to go give Jennifer a hug. This is,
I know.
This okay. is a lot.
She's like amazing. I'm so glad that for everybody that hears this message, like, it's Jennifer, it's your story, but it is, there's so much even I hear and I'm like, oh, it's like a breath. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to act when I get in that mode. I've had, like you said it, I've had calls every day for mom this week about a piece of medical equipment. And I'm like, and then I get the call from the doctor's office and she has the FaceTime. So it is exhausting. But something I heard you say, here's my sister question. You ready, Natalie?
Oh, I'm ready.
I'll just jump into it. So what I have heard, everything that you've said, is that this journey that has been over half your life, you have not allowed it to define you. And there are so many caregivers out there that they're a caregiver and they look at their life and it's just over. And you said that you started seeking out the things that fill the gaps. And I love that. What now, because you're in it, I mean, you're in caregiving, what continues to fill your gaps? Like, where do you think you've gotten the most? What overflows your bucket now?
Honestly, a little bit of nostalgia.
Yeah.
My grandma taught me to write something down every day, even if nobody ever reads it. You can write it in your calendar, in a journal, on a scrap piece of paper that you picked up along the way. It really does help you make sense of it all. Yeah. I'm writing again. I've always been written it down every day, something, a sentence. But I'm really writing now. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at some memories that are a little hard, but that's okay. I believe that when you're ready to listen to the hard songs, you know, the songs, the one that was on the radio 27 times a day when your brother got blown up. Mm. That song for me is 100 years, Five for Fighting.
Yeah.
My brother got hurt 19 years ago. And honestly, for 18 years, I could not listen to that song, but recently I've been listening to it in a new way. And I'm just working on looking at that nostalgia and saying, what can I take from that that's positive?
Yeah. I really like that, because we all know, it's so funny how there are songs or smells or things that really take you back. And I think you're right. You have to be in a place to be able to respond to that. You know what I mean? You have to be in a place where you're like, okay, I can handle this right now. Cause you don't have to, here's a tip. You don't have to face it if you're not ready just yet, but know you're going to have to pay the piper at some point. You're going to have to do that so that you can move on and be healthy. Sometimes it's not the right time, but it will come in its time.
Yeah.
You know, with your brother lives with you still. Is that right?
So he has his own apartment, have a room there, but I have kind of some new news.
Oh, tell.
About 2 years ago, my brother met someone. Now, his long-term goal, once he got to a recovery point where he could start setting goals for himself, was relationships. He just turned 21 when he got wounded, like, didn't really ever have a serious girlfriend. That's what he wanted. That's what we all want. That's what I wanted. A couple of years ago, he met a special education teacher, and his baggage isn't too heavy for her to pick up. Mm-hmm. And Wow. She, a couple months ago, moved in to his apartment, and she is transitioning the caregiving role. It's going to take a while. It's 19 Ooh. Years. You don't just say, here you go. But it's wonderful to be collaborative with her. We've been so honest and so transparent, and she is absolutely lovely. And I'm hopeful. I'm starting to, I'm going to Photoshop her into all like the family photos. I think that would be fun to make a whole album where she's in there like this whole time. We didn't know it.
Wow.
Okay. So that feels so good. This is reminds me of Charisma, where Jennifer, she met Cole, and his mother had cared for him for years. And that transitioning and that handing off, she talked about it from her perspective. She was like, that was a little hard, a little awkward, because it was hard to hand that off. And Jennifer, you've been his caregiver his entire life, but different. You've been sister, you've been mom, you have been caregiver. Like, you've got so many hats. But the fact that you say it can be done, it can be done in a healthy way, it doesn't lessen anything I've done, is so important. And it gives your brother independence.
Yes, because our care recipients, they don't want to be a burden to us.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of feelings about that. Mm. They sure do. And I want to just say that all of the tactics that I incorporate continue to make me a better caregiver. Taking the time to go for a walk or to do my breathing or to practice yoga doesn't take away from me being a caregiver. It makes it better.
Yeah. Mm. Taking care
totally
of yourself.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I think it's so important. Okay. So here's my last question, because I'm so glad you shared that your brother has it. Okay. Can we know her name? Because we're total girls. We're like, what's her name?
It's Denise.
Hi, Denise. We love you. We love you, Denise.
She has 6, 7, 8 brothers and sisters. So,
it's perfect.
What bothers her? I couldn't have prescribed someone better.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
It's my heart. So, it fills my heart. I love
it. It does fill my heart. I'm like, oh, this is good. Okay. So, you know what? I feel like when you Photoshop her in, we need to have that with this episode so people have frame of reference. So they're like, oh, well, that's Denise. Hey, Denise. Last question. And this is always the fun one for me is, what's your favorite guilty pleasure? What is the thing that you do for yourself that you're like, oh, I ain't sharing that with nobody?
Mm-hmm. So I travel a lot for caregiving, mm-hmm. right? I'm a long distance caregiver. Many of your listeners are, I'm sure. Yeah. I like to have a little bit extra layover so I can treat myself to a sit down meal. You know, every airport has that opportunity. Might not be great food, but we're like, somebody is bringing me the food. I'm sitting there by myself. I might be reading a book or not. That's my guilty pleasure. I build in that time where I can't do anything, right? I'm stuck between flights.
Oh no, I have a layover that's 10 days.
I mean, I'm talking about like an hour and 45 minutes.
I know. I know, but 10 days would be pretty funny if the airport was right next to, you know, resort with an ocean. And you're like, I don't know what happens. It's just, I'm here. Oh my gosh. I feel like Jennifer needs our friends at Norwegian Cruise Line. I feel like the layover.
She needs a layover. We need a 7-day layover for Jennifer.
Oh my God. Oh, I love that. You know what? That is probably the most interesting guilty pleasure, because it's just time for yourself. It's people be like, well, that's true. And I love
that. What are you going to do in there?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, literally, I was in the airport yesterday and thinking like, well, there's Starbucks. I'm like, here I come. I love that. You know, I can't believe our time is already gone. It's just crazy. I feel like Jennifer's going to have to come back and just play with us and hang out. You know what? Definitely come back for sure for the Heroes series, which is our military and veteran caregiver series, because I think you have so many words of wisdom. And I think there's other things that we can jump into, especially being a military caregiver. Yeah. And you're really committed. I mean, you can't find many more people who are stars and bars over here, people, because I mean, your husband's Navy, you're hitting every like branch.
Little baby's gonna have to join the Space Force, and my granddaughter's gonna have to go in the Coast Guard, I think.
And honestly, you got it covered, and you've got all the emblems and everything. So, guys, thanks so much for listening in. We really appreciate you. And until we confess again, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Well, friends, that's a wrap on this week's confession. Thank you so much for listening in on UK Health Radio. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the Confession Show. Don't forget, visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, sign up for the Sisterhood Advantage Club, and of course, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, and Twitter. You'll also find the video recording of all our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday when we come together to confess again. Till then, take care of you.